Hello and welcome to my Money Manifesto for Monday the 23rd of February 2015. I'm Jeremy Deeds, financial life planner with over 25 years experience in financial services, author of Right Money, Right Place, Right Time, and founder of Planning for Life and Living Money. And each month I take as a theme a stage of my program for developing a life and a financial plan. And this month, February, we're looking at the last stage, enlightenment. And that's the enlightenment that comes from executing your plan. And so on this last Monday of the month, I want to address the important subject of risk in investing. And obviously this is important as you start to implement your plan. Misjudging risk can be the death of a good financial plan, so it's really important you give serious consideration to this. But I want to ask the key question, where does risk really lie? Now, for the regulators and for most individuals, risk is seen to lie in the financial product itself, the investment. And huge amounts of work are done on risk rating products, explaining the likelihood of a product failing or failing to perform as expected, and the consequence of such a failure. Now, it's a very mathematical, logical approach, and it's fairly simple for product providers to quantify the risk of failure and indeed the probability of success. And indeed, it is important to do so. However, I would argue we probably don't spend enough time or effort on assessing the other side of the equation, the risk that lies in our own psyches as investors. Now, true, regulators around the world require financial advisors to assess the client's, quote, attitude to risk, unquote, and capacity for loss. And indeed, there are a number of risk profiling services that use psychometric questionnaires to come up with a score and a risk profile of the investor. And once again, though, these tend to be formulaic and based around numbers rather than emotions or addressing the psychological elements of an investor's decisions. So typical questions in a psychometric questionnaire might be, how much of a fall could you tolerate before becoming uncomfortable? How much risk have you taken in the past? What does risk mean to you? Now, these are all designed, as the name implies, to assess your attitude to risk, thereby allowing advisors to match the investment risk profile to the investor risk profile and say that product X could be appropriate and product Y not. However, I think we need to go much deeper than that and assess our own behaviour as investors. Carl Richards, an American financial planner and a cartoonist, advocates in one of his drawings that the investor causes more damage to portfolio performance than the economy and the markets combined. And that's quite a dramatic statement. But he describes how, irrespective of their attitude to risk, investors pile into stock markets as they rise and sell when they crash, as their decisions are driven by those two powerful emotions of fear and greed. Now, a rather more logical and emotion-free attitude was taken by financier Nathan Rothschild, who in 1810, during the Napoleonic Wars, advocated buying when the cannons roar and selling when the violins play, i.e. the opposite of what most of us do, which is why he was a multimillionaire and most investors are not. Now, I think we can take this to an even deeper level than simply the influence of our emotions. The degree to which we are extroverts or introverts, for instance, has a significant impact on our investment decisions. Psychologists have identified a phenomenon called reward sensitivity. Now, a reward-sensitive person is highly motivated to seek rewards, whether they be financial or any other type. And in her book, Quiet, Susan Cain describes the work of financial psychiatrist Dr. Janice Dorn, who has observed that extroverts are more likely to be reward sensitive, while introverts are more likely to pay attention to warning signals. And often, extroverts can be too reward sensitive. Cain describes the case of a 60-year-old client of Dorn's who consistently put money into an investment subject to a bailout in 2008. In spite of never having participated directly in the stock market during his working life, the client eventually lost a staggering $700,000 because dangerous signals had been there and he had ignored them, blinded by the prospect of the ultimate big win, which never happened. Now, notwithstanding, the client should have never had such a high exposure to a single investment and should have been more careful with his life savings. The story does illustrate that the risk warnings and risk profiles do not necessarily capture the consequence of our behaviour, especially in high-octane situations. Hence the burgeoning science of behavioural economics, which challenge the notion of the rational investor. And that is the notion on which most product and investor risk profiles are built. And as commentator Rory Sutherland says, we are still operating on the 100-year-old neoclassic model of economics, and that leaves out the real drivers of life and finance, namely trust, psychology, context, relationships, and ethics. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, being the first Monday of the month, I will, as usual, take a neoclassical view of the global economy and markets. And next month here at Living Money, we restart the cycle and go back to the first phase of our future programme and talk about building a firm foundation for our plans. And we'll be spending much more time during the next 6 months on the behavioural issues surrounding our dealings with life and money. Before I go, a quick bit about my businesses. Planning for Life is a fully authorised financial planning business in which I work with selected clients on a one-to-one basis for the longer term. Living Money is a coaching and training organisation specialising in personal finance. It is not authorised to provide financial advice and does not recommend financial products. Instead, it aims to provide you with the tools and skills to buy the right financial products yourself to best serve your life and money. And hence, I think you can understand my deep interest in behavioural economics. Both businesses aim to work with busy entrepreneurial and professional families. At the heart is my six-step programme, Foundation Utopia Transformation, Utilisation Resources, Roadmap Enlightenment, Future for Short, and that brings relief from sleepless nights worrying about money and secures the lifestyle you want as quickly and as efficiently as possible. I'm named by my advisor clients as the planner who puts life back into money, and my mission is to leave my clients feeling liberated. So if you want to transform your life and finances, start by joining the Living Money community. Go to our website, www.living-money.com, and become a fledgling member to get access to a range of resources to help you plan your life and money. That's it from me this week. Until next week, stay well and go well.